Good morning. No, it is a great day. It is a special day because today is Father's Day. And we want to say thank you. And we appreciate all of our fathers and all that you've done through your life to offer the advice that you've given to your children and to help guide their ways. I know that I'm grateful for my father. I had a phone call from a friend of mine when we were in grade school, actually on, and he moved away, and I haven't really gotten to see him a whole lot lately. In the last number of years, we haven't really even talked very much, but he called me last night to let me know that he was praying for my dad. And he said, "I just remember all the things that your dad did for me, and how grateful I am that he was part of my life growing up." So you just really don't ever know what kind of an example you're being or what kind of blessing you are in people's lives while you're doing it. So I'm just grateful for my father. And I know that I wish he were somewhere other than where he is right now. I wish he was able to be here with us this morning, but that will come. God is going to bless him, I'm sure. So I greatly appreciate your prayers on his behalf. The lesson today, this morning, is just simply fatherly advice. And I think about one of the greatest ways we can honor our fathers is really to talk about the things that the blessing that they've been in our life, the positive benefits that they have blessed us with through a lot of the advice that they've given. I wish that you could have asked all of you to write something down that maybe that your father had given you, some kind of an advice that you remember. I'm sure all of us would have something to say. I'm sure Alan would have a whole lot to say about his father, because I can see him grinning over there right now. But here's a few things that I found and looked up best advice my father ever gave me, and here are a few of the things that I found. It says, "Before my wedding, while I was stressing out, my dad said, 'Honey, the most important thing that happens here is that the two of you get married. If one of you throws up on the other one's shoes and then faints in horror, we'll pick you up, clean your shoes, and you'll go on. It's the commitment you're making to each other that's important, not the wedding ceremony.'" My grandpa always said, "Think before you act." Though the way he phrased it was more like, "Ask yourself if you would want your children to find out about this in the future." That's a little more impactful, isn't it? "Praise in public, criticize in private." My father was a United States Marine and always understood the importance of people's feelings, including those of his own children. The best advice my dad ever gave me was to always tell the truth. People will always react more positively if you bring your mistake to their attention versus them finding it out on their own. My dad, actions spoke louder than words. He taught me the difference between flathead and Phillips screwdrivers, how to swing a hammer, how to do all your shopping in one trip to save gas, and that when you forge your father's name to a letter for school, make certain that he will never find out about it. Never date a man you couldn't marry. The best advice my father gave me was never spoken, but I observed it. My father never talks about, degrades, or spreads gossip about anybody. I think that's very admirable. Be a better parent than your parents. Stop bad cycles and habits. Always try to better yourself, because when you're better, your children get better. Stick with the truth and let the chips fall where they may. I just thought a few of those I thought were worthy of just sharing with you this morning. I think that advice from someone wise goes a long way in our life to help directing our steps and the things that we choose to do and the men and women that we choose to be in this life. And I believe one of those great examples is our father. The things that our fathers have to say to us. So what I want to share with you this morning, if you have your Bible, go back in the Old Testament to 1 Kings chapter 2. I'm going to look a little bit out of this chapter about advice from a father to his son. And David is the king of Israel, and we know a lot about David. We've studied his life, and he's at the very end of his life. Now, he's just gone through some things with Absalom, one of his sons, and all the heartache that came from that relationship. And you look at David's life, and there are a lot of things that happened in his life. And David, by no stretch of the imagination, was the perfect man who's ever lived. We know that. We get that. We understand that. And he points it out all through this. God allows us to see a real man and who he was and all about his life. But here at the end of his life, they're trying to deal with some things. And who's going to become king? And Adonijah is also trying to vie for the throne. And so there's some struggles in the kingdom. And Bathsheba goes to David and talks to him and wise men around him. And they're all visiting and they're saying, now who's going to be on the throne? And he said, Solomon's going to be on the throne. And so Solomon has decided he's going to be the next king. And he's going to be on that throne. So David calls him in. And in chapter 2, this is his charge. These are the words, the last thing that David the father has to say to his son. And I think it's good for us to just look at this real quickly together. In verse 1 and verse 2, he said, David's time to die drew near. And he charged Solomon his son, saying this. Verse 2, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Now, what he literally says is, become a man. He's saying, son, the days of childhood are over. The days of you being the son of the king and getting what you want, and being privileged, and all of those things, is over. You are becoming the king. It's time for you to choose today to become a man. You need to stand up. Now, he's not saying, you be the man, and you go around and push out your chest and tell everyone how they're going to live their life. You should tell them, I'm bigger and badder. That's not what he's saying. And a lot of times in this world, that's what we think becoming a man is. We're stronger, we can get now. It's time for us to double up our fists and go teach people how tough we are. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, it's time to become a man. It's time to put away childish things. It's time to quit acting like a child and start acting like a man. It's time to become who God intends for you to be. That's what he's really going to say in this passage. It's time for you to grow up. It's time to no longer be a child. Things that you're about to do, the things that you're about to face in this life, are going to be a lot more difficult than they've been to this point. You've been watched over, you've been coddled, you've been taken care of. No one's going to say anything to you because you're my son. But now then, you're going to be king and everyone is going to talk about you. Everyone is going to put their idea of who you're supposed to be on you. And so when you fail, everyone's going to see it. Everyone's going to talk about it. You better be ready for that. You better understand that those things are going to come. Become a man. He also is saying, you need to look at your friendships. The people that are close to you, those people that you're putting around your life, who you listen to. That's your choice. Those friendships that you build are your choice. Don't put those men in your life that are always goofing around and who never grow up. Any of you know anyone older who's never grown up? Don't want to grow up. I want to be a kid. I want someone to take care of me my whole life. I don't care how old I am. I don't really want a job. I don't really want to do those things. I just want to kick back and relax and live off of what mom and dad have done. And this is what I want. He says, it's time to grow up. Your friends, if they're like that, now's the time to start getting away from those people. You need to grow up, become a man. Verse 3, he says, keep the charge of the Lord. Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, His ordinances, and His testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn. keep the charge of the Lord your God. What does it mean to keep the charge of the Lord? How can we understand what God charges us with? And that's not an accusation charge. That's a kind of a commission in the military. Right, Don? That's what he's talking about. You have this charge by your superiors who says, this is what you're about. And God said, this is your charge. And he said, that's what David is telling Solomon. Keep the charge that God has given you. Keep the charge that God has called you to be. The king of who? His people, not your people. This is God's people, God's country, God's nation, not yours. Now, how do we keep that charge? He says, you keep the charge by walking in His ways, in His statutes, in His commandments, in His ordinances, in His testimonies, according to the law of Moses. God didn't beat around the bush. God told you how to live your life. Now, you choose today to live this life. You choose today to accept the commission that God is giving you. This is bigger than me. Solomon, this isn't just from me. This is from God Himself. And He will direct your paths. If you do these things, if you keep His charge, then you will be successful in all that you do. Now, did He say you're going to be the most powerful, most wealthy king who's ever lived? That's not what He said. What He said is, you will be successful. Successful in what? In the charge that God gave you. In being the king, in leading His nation. Now, in verse 5, He says, now, you also know what Joab has done. Now, this is one of those, we got to really listen to what he's trying to say, because when he starts warning Solomon, he says, now understand, there are people in the kingdom who are not trustworthy. You remember what Joab did. What did Joab do? He murdered Abner and Amasa. It says that he shed blood during the time of peace. His arrogance, he wore that blood around basically on his belt and on his shoes as a sign of, look how powerful I am. Look at the things that I've done. This is who I wanted to be. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. He says, now you remember this man. You mark this man and don't forget him. He is not worthy to be trusted. He is not worthy because, not because of his lineage, but because of the choices he's made in his life. Now that's pretty tough, but you know what? It's the same thing today. When we step back and we look at our life, even in the church, there are times when the Lord tells us the same thing. There are some people who aren't worthy to be trusted. And you know who those people are. Those people who sow dissension, those people who bring in outside things, those people who are trying to change God's Word, those people who do all of those kinds of things are not worthy to be trusted. Now that's tough. That's hard. That's hard to say, well, I can't really have a relationship with you, but you know what God says? Don't do it. If someone is like that in your life, what do we do? Welcome them with open arms? No. We can't even eat with such a one, we're told. You remember Joab. Remember what he did. He is not about peace. He is not about the commands of God. He is not the one who's going to help you bring about peace in God's kingdom. All he's going to do is sow dissension all the time. That's why we don't welcome people who sow dissension among us. And those people who don't care who they hurt, those people who don't care whether they are around you or not, or if you're even here, I don't care. I don't like that person. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to be around them. I don't want them. I'm not even going to sit on the same side of the auditorium with them. I'm going to move over here because I don't even like them. That's the kind of people he's talking about. We don't do that. We don't have the right to do that. Why? Because it's not our church, it's God's. And when I act that way, David says, Solomon, watch him. Watch him. Know who he is. Know what he's about. And don't let him sow that kind of dissension in this kingdom. Same thing in a church. We're not allowed to do that. We're supposed to stop that. Verse 6, he says, so act according to your wisdom, and do not let his gray hair go down to Sheol in peace. Still talking about Job. Don't let him just sit there and do whatever he feels like doing. You stop him. At every time he tries to do something to hinder God's kingdom, stop him. Don't let him do that. It's not your kingdom. It's God's. David telling his son, son, you're going to be king of God's kingdom. Don't allow these things to happen. Don't let him continue doing the things that he's done to destroy this kingdom. Verse 7, but show kindness to the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table, for they assisted me when I fled from Absalom, your brother. Surround yourself with faithful people. Mark those who sow dissension, but surround yourself with faithful people. Now, he's talking about someone that's not part of Israel. He's talking about some people that aren't from their lineage. And he says, guess what? That's kind of that thing. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what kind of language they speak. It doesn't matter what they, if they're about God's kingdom, put those people in your life. Those faithful people are who we need to be around us all the time in our life. Verse 8 and 9. He said, behold, there is with you Shimei. Now, it was he who cursed me with a violent curse on the day I went to Mahanaim. And when he came down to me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now therefore, do not let him go unpunished, for you are a wise man, and you will know what you ought to do to him, and you will bring his gray hair down to Sheol with blood. Whether David should have or shouldn't have done, made a commitment that he did, he had made a vow, and he said, son, I can't do anything about the vow that I made. But you are a wise man. You are going to be a wise king. And I know that you're going to follow God's statutes. And when you do that, you come about these people who have done these things. Now then, you are going to pass judgment on them from wisdom about what should and shouldn't happen. Now there are times that things are not easy in this life. Have you ever had to have a conversation with someone and tell them what you're doing is wrong? What you're doing, the life you're living is sinful, and you can't live that way. Is it easy? No. Is it easy to tell someone that if you want to follow God, you can't live like that? Yeah, you can't say those things. You can't do those things. It's not easy. David says to his son, but you, however, are going to be the king, and your greatest duty is to your people to guide them to God. It's to lead them back to the truth and tell them what they're about and not about. And to judge those who refuse to follow God, to pass that judgment on them, to say, you're not welcome, you can't be here. Do what it takes. But in all this advice, here is the father giving his son advice, a son who is about to take the throne, and he's saying, follow God. This is the greatest advice that a father can give their child. Don't listen to this world, listen to God. Know what His statutes are. Know what His commission to you is. And we're all commissioned by God. Everyone who follows God is commissioned by Him to live the life that He's called us to live. Now the sad thing is sometimes we don't believe we're commissioned and we sure don't know what a commission means. Most jobs the boss will tell that employee, this is what I expect of you. And if you do these things, there will be a promotion out there for you. And then if you're faithful with those, there will be another one, and another one, and another one. Eventually, you'll just keep climbing the ladder, as we say. But we have to abide by the commission that was given to us. But if we go in and say, I don't want to do what you've asked me to do. I don't want to do that job. That job's beneath me. Or I don't like that. I don't believe in that. I don't think I should have to do those things. And what happens? The boss says, well, you don't have to work here either. There's the door. Thank you for your time. Have a good life. So long. We're given a commission by God. And we either choose to accept that commission or we deny it and say, no, that's beneath me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to live that life. I want to live this life because this life looks better to me. And so David is saying, Solomon, don't, just because you're wise, just because you're intelligent, use that wisdom to understand God's commission in your life. Be faithful to Him and He will guide you. He will give you the success in this life. What great advice from a father to a son. One other one real quick. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul, who doesn't have children, gives advice to the fathers. And his advice is really simple. It's not long. It's just one verse. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Do not incite riotous type behavior in them, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's all he says. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Don't be so harsh on them that they don't see a way out. That all that it causes is anger in their life. Don't make them be angry. Don't yell and scream at them all the time. Don't do those things. Why? Because that's the kind of child you will raise. That they're going to be angry all the time. They're not going to have direction in their life. All they're going to have is anger. Don't be that way. But bring them up in the discipline. He doesn't say don't discipline them. He doesn't say don't guide them. And that's what discipline is guiding in the right direction. He says, but bring them up in the discipline and nurture or instruction of the Lord. God is nurturing all of us. God nurtures all of us. And he says, so that's what you do as a father. You raise your children in God's way of living this life. Raise your children, fathers, to bring honor and glory to God. So a couple of men in the Bible who've offered advice, one to children, one to fathers. But then I want to end this morning with one last father's advice, and that's from God Himself. When you think about God, remember that everything that God says to us is advice. Some people want to believe that there is a God, this great being, who manipulates things with a, you know, puppet on a string, and that's God. Well, that's not God. God has never done that to His people. God has never done that to anybody. God does not stand up there with all those strings telling us where to go, what to do, how to do it, or making us, manipulating us into doing all of those things. God says, you have the prerogative to decide anything that you want to do. You can live this life any way you want to live it. I'm not going to force you to not live your life the way you want to live it. But I'm going to give you some advice. My dad, and I've told this story before, he warned me when I was a little bitty boy because I was fascinated with that old cigarette lighter that punched in and popped out. Punched in and popped out, punched in and popped out. And when I pull it out and it's glowing red, it's pretty cool for a little bitty kid. And he said, don't mess with that. Why, Daddy? Because it's going to burn you if you keep messing with it. Leave it alone. I told you to leave it alone. Now leave it alone. And I remember as a Sunday morning after worship was over and I ran out. And you know, back in those days, cars were left wide open, windows were down, all of that. I climbed in to drive the car. and I'm looking, and I'm trying to shift gears, and I'm doing all that stuff because I'm parked right in front of the building, and I reach down and push the button because I was like, ooh, Dad's not in the car. Click. Click. Oh, that's kind of cool. Now, what did he say? Don't touch it. It's going to burn you. So what does a kid that's 3 years old or four, however old I was at the time, do? Well, you stick it to your tongue. And I did it. Now, did my dad take that cigarette lighter out of the car? He didn't smoke. Mom didn't smoke. There was no reason for that cigarette lighter being there, but they didn't take it out of the car. He said, leave it alone. And I didn't. And he said, now, if you don't, this is what's going to happen. I still didn't quite grasp what burn means. I did that day. And from that day forward, anytime my dad said, don't touch it, it's going to burn you, guess what? I jumped away from it. It may jump right up and attack me. I don't know. But that cigarette lighter did, and it hurt. And it stuck with me the rest of my life. I don't want to stick anything that's glowing red hot to my tongue because it hurts. Now that was some pretty good advice. God gives us advice in this life and He says don't do those things because it's going to burn you. It's going to hurt you. But He says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 7 and Luke chapter 9 and verse 35 on the Mount of Transfiguration and the Lord Himself is there and the guys, some of His disciples are with Him, and they see the picture, they see Moses and Elijah, they see, and they come to this great conclusion. This is what we need to do. We need to build these tents, or these little tabernacles in Your honor, and let's do this. And they're thinking, whoo, boy, we've got this down. But then all of a sudden it says, the heavens open up, and this voice comes down, and what does the voice say? This is My beloved Son. This is My Son, My chosen one. Listen to Him. You know what the greatest advice in the world? God gave it. This is My Son. Listen to Him. Listen to what He has to say. The Lord Himself, as a passage that was read a few moments ago, Don read in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. Lord said, if you listen to My words, you'll be like what? The wise man who built his house on a solid foundation, on a rock, and when the storms beat against it, it was able to stand firm because of its foundation. I don't know any of you who've ever built a house, but I guarantee you, if you don't have a house on a good foundation, what happens? It's destroyed. It won't take long before you walk in and you see cracks in the walls, the doors won't shut, all of those things, and if a storm comes, it's going to fall over. They've done all these studies down in Florida. Those that did not have a good foundation were swept away every time a hurricane would come through. And one of them went in and decided, you know what, we're going to build the foundation a little differently than the way they've ever been done before. And one house out of all these houses in this one neighborhood stood, and it was one that was built differently with a different foundation. And so you want to build a house, don't you? The first thing you do is you hire a builder who knows how to build a foundation. And you can't even see that foundation when it's over. Any of you ever were down when they were building the big giant skyscraper in Oklahoma City? Any of you see that when it first started? It was like, what are they doing? They're trying to dig to China. I mean, there's a hole in the ground that went down several stories deep. I'm like, what are they doing? They're building a building. Well, buildings go up. They don't go down. Is that it's all about the foundation. If we don't get it right, this building has no chance of ever staying upright. So we start here. If you listen to My words, you'll be like the wise man. John 5:24. Truly I say to you, he who hears My words and believes in Him who sent Me has eternal life. The advice that our Lord has leads to life. And in John chapter 6, 66, 67, 8, and 9, the Lord is talking to His disciples, and a lot of these other disciples that were following Him, Jesus is teaching, and they go, well, that's just too difficult. I don't like that teaching. It's too hard. I don't know. I don't even understand what you're asking, and I don't want to struggle with this. It's just too hard. And I hear that all the time. How many of you teachers have heard that? It's just too hard. I can't do that. Yeah, you can. No, I can't. I'm just going to fail. I'm going to flunk. I just can't do it. So all these disciples are arguing, and they're all saying this, and finally the Lord is watching them, and this big group of disciples just gets up and starts walking away. And we don't want anything to do with it because it's just too hard. And Peter said that about Paul. He said, you know, sometimes our brother Paul writes some things that are hard to understand. It means you're going to have to struggle with it. It's not just going to be easy. This life is not easy. And Jesus asks them, He says, you do not want to go away also, do you? Do you want to go with them? I hear y'all, and I know you're struggling with this. Do you just want to walk away also? And I love what Peter says. Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of life. We have believed and have come to know that You are the Holy One of God. Lord, where do we go? Whom can we go to? We know You have the words of eternal life. We want to listen to You. And then in chapter 14 and 26 and 16, 12 and 13, He talks about the Holy Spirit coming and guiding them into all truth. He'll help you. And things that you can't understand yet, that you're not ready for, He's going to open your mind and He's going to allow you to understand it. In chapter 17, He goes on, He says, I don't ask on behalf of these alone, these disciples, but also for all of those who will believe in Me through their word. And He's saying, all the advice that I have to give, all the way to lead you back home, all of those things I will give so that you can understand where you need to go, what you need to do to inherit eternal life. The passage we used a couple of weeks ago as well, John 14 and 6, when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. What powerful advice. God wants you to have eternal life. God said to all mankind, this is My Son, My chosen one, listen to Him. He says, I'm the way. I have the words of life. No one can come to the Father except through Me. If you believe that, God will bless you. What an amazing thing it is to have a Father who will give you good advice. I hope and pray that you've experienced in your life a Father who's cared about you. If you haven't, I hope you understand that we all have the Father. Maybe our earthly father, maybe not all of us were lucky enough to have a really great father in our life. But we all have the greatest father ever. And He wants us to understand that He loves us. That He is in charge of everything that exists, that He created this world. He created us. And He's already prepared a home for us in heaven. But He also gives us the words of life while here in this physical place. How to deal with things that we face in this life. How we can be successful in this life. God loves us. No advice in this world is worth a plug nickel, as they say, if it's not for our betterment. Nothing that God has given us is not for our betterment. Thank God for the advice He's given us, for our Heavenly Father who said, I love you and I want you to understand eternity. I want you to be with Me where I am. The question this morning is, in your life, have you accepted the advice that the Father has given you? Are you still struggling? You want to know where strength comes from living this life? It's not in ourselves. It's not in the people that are around us, but it's in Jesus Christ. He's the one that will give us the answers. He's the one that will tell us how to live this life to its fullest. He's the one that will tell us what meaningful relationships really look like. He's the one who's going to say, this, you want to understand meaning here? Let me give it to you. And He's done it. But only in Christ will we understand that. Are you there? Or are you still struggling with the advice that this world has been trying to invest in you and trying to get you to commit yourself to? We'll either listen to this world or we'll listen to our Lord. What advice do you want? Thank God He's given us such amazing and wonderful and eternal advice to let us know where we stand with Him for all eternity. You can have that assurance in your life this morning if you don't already. If you want it, you can get it this morning by naming Jesus the Christ, the Lord of your life, being immersed into Him to receive all those blessings that He has in store for us. And if you've wandered away and you think, man, I'm going to listen to the advice of this world, maybe you've done that. Maybe you're struggling with listening to God. Man, there's no reason to struggle anymore. There's no reason to do that. God has put us in His kingdom for a reason, to understand what He wants from us. Are you ready to come back to Him? Say, you know what? I really do want to follow, because I know every time I've been with Him, every time I've listened to Him, things go well. And I look at my life and I realize things aren't going well. I know I'm not listening to Him anymore. His advice doesn't mean anything. We know what happens when we listen to Him. Our life is blessed. So look at your life this morning. Are you being blessed by Him? You can be. And that's what He wants for you. So if you want to receive that blessing in your life, if you want to renew that relationship, whatever you have, if you want that relationship renewed with God, you can do that this morning. I ask you, if you need to do that, do it right now while we stand and we sing the song.